Ave Maria, this is Friar Terence for Air Maria, reporting here from Rhode Island with Immaculée Ilibagiza. She's a best-selling New York Times author of the book Left to Tell. And this is the month of the Rosary, and her story is very powerful. She was actually in the Rwandan genocide in 1994 when a million Rwandans were killed. And we're actually standing in front of a replica of the toilet that she actually stayed in for 3 months with eight other women to survive through the actual Holocaust itself. And I wanted to ask you, Immaculée, after listening to your story, you said that the rosary was actually very powerful in helping you in your conversion and also in helping you to forgive those who had killed your relatives and your friends as well. And there are a lot of Catholics out there and a lot of non-Christians and Christians as well who have trouble forgiving others. And so could you please tell us how you got the power to forgive those who had done such terrible things to you, especially with the rosary?
Thank you so much for having me and for asking such an important question, because it really was the main thing, that such a gift, you know, in my life, such a gift in my life throughout the whole experience I lived. When I was in that bathroom, I started to say the rosary at one time when I realized that God was real. And I said the rosary because I wanted to keep away from fear, from the anger I had. And when I said it once, it felt good. I said it twice, three times. I ended up saying the rosary every single day, 27 times a day. And through the rosary, there's a time where I said it when I'm not thinking about the words a lot. There's other times I just meant everything I said. And I remember when I started really to mean it from my heart, because I wanted God to protect me, the pain of Christ, all the sorrow he went through and his mother became so real. You know, I can see him on the way of the cross, carrying the cross. I'm like, oh my goodness, he suffered. And he was rejected by people for nothing, for no reason, because he believes different things they believe. And that alone took away so much my pain from the anger I had and from self-pity I had. Why me? How this can happen to me? Then I realized, well, if it can happen to God himself, that he can be rejected for no reason, why can this not happen to me? So that settled me to give me a lot of peace. Then I remember also praying, especially our Lord's prayer, our Father who art in heaven, when I go to the part which you say in the rosary six times in one rosary, so in 27 rosaries, it was like 200 times. When I go to the part that said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, at one time I just couldn't say it. I realized that I am lying. Then I started to take that part out of the prayer. Then one time it was like a little angel telling me, put it back. It's God's words. It's not even man-made prayer. Then to put it back and to say it, because I wanted to live truly, at least sincerely to God, I just realized that I can't say it if I'm not willing to let go of that anger, because I was so angry that my stomach was aching, my head was aching, just thinking of the people who were killing us. And one time, I remember it was really like a moment I understood what it is to surrender. I remember like almost like just crushing, and every piece was on the ground of my whole body. I went on my knees and I asked God, I surrender. I gave you everything. My anger I'm holding on. Help me out if you know how to forgive. I think I have a good reason to hate them, but if you know how to forgive, help me out. If you know how I can say these words, meaning them, help me out. Let it be not me who failed you, but help me out. And when one time I was praying the Sorrowful Mysteries on the fifth sorrow, when I was thinking about Jesus when he was on the cross, and of course, like to think about the pain his mother went through, looking at her son, I couldn't think of what my mom would be to see me being in that position. It all became so real because I was going through over and over. And I remember when he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. So the words he said, I think it made so much sense for someone who's true and right. The real thing is that people were killing him. They couldn't get to know who he was. You know, they were so angry, because no one hates someone who loves them, and he didn't love them. But their truth, their anger, their hatred, their sins could not let them see that. Otherwise, if they see how much he cares, they will embrace him. That they couldn't see that. Then somehow, as thinking of him, it kind of transferred to my heart. Oh, maybe the killers who are killing us, they don't even get it. How that we are innocent. They don't get even the consequences that will come to them. They don't understand. God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They know with their brain, but their heart has been closed up. So it was really that moment I realized that anyone has a chance to change. Instead of hating them, maybe I should try to pray for them to change. And that word will please God more, the God I'm praying to, the God I believe He's my Almighty, who is the Father of everybody. Just from understanding that, it was almost like I was looking for an understanding which just settled my heart. And when I understood that, my heart was freed. And 3 months after I came out of the bathroom, I found a job. I went back to the prison. I met somebody who killed my brother and my mom. And I looked in the eyes of this man. I thought I would just change my mind when I see him physical, face to face. But when I saw him, I just cried because I can see almost like naked in his heart that he is so confused about truth.
This was a man who was trying to kill you, who was threatening you right to your face. Is that right?
That was a man who was looking for me in the bathroom, who was outside with his group trying to look for me and saying that I am the only one he's missing in the family.
How many of them were looking for you in that bathroom with the 7 other women? How many of the men were searching the house?
300 people. 300. Searching 4-bedroom house. And they missed to see one door over and over. Coming to the same house, they missed to see one door. And the second time they came, we have requested the pastor to push a wardrobe in front of the door. So that they didn't see that there's a door behind. But even that, for them not to see that, it was just like a miracle of God. And when I saw this man who killed my family, I offered him forgiveness. Because I realized that he is such in a level where he wishes he can know the truth. He wishes he can see the truth as we see it. He's looking for happiness in the wrong places. And that's why he came there. And I truly understood that I know forgiveness was a grace, but it is a grace that is available to everybody. There's nothing I say that I feel that, oh, I'm so special to God. That's why it happened to me. It can happen to anybody. As long as you are willing and you are asking Him, help me out, especially through the rosary. I think there's such a softness through our mother, our lady. Like, I mean, all of us, we know the love of our mother is so special, so gentle, and that just changed me so much.
That's a really powerful witness, especially to people who have a lot of problems in their families, problems at homes, problems in their work, and a lot of times they'll be complaining and they'll be bitter about that. And your story of being in the Rwandan Holocaust and what you went through really pales in comparison to what a lot of us here in the States have to go through every day. So I think kind of the message that you give is that we should kind of stop complaining and being bitter and start picking up our rosaries and praying the rosary to Our Lady. Do you want to say a few words? You do carry usually a rosary with you of the 7 sorrows. Do you want to say a few words about that as well? That is a special place in your life.
Thank you so much for asking. Yes, I carry the rosary of the 7 sorrows, and I just gave it away as somebody wanted to give me. Yeah, I just gave it away to somebody who was asking, where can I get it? And I get, and someone just gave it back to me. But the 7 sorrows is such a beautiful prayer, Our Lady of Kibeho. I am so excited because it happened when I was a child. I saw it coming. I saw it happening and growing, and the apparitions of Our Lady who came to visit a village in our country called Kibeho. You know, the controversies, the approval of the bishop, the approval of the church in general. I all kind of saw it coming, the miracles that have been happening there, the healings, the consolation, the love the Blessed Mother showed us. But like everyone who will tell you that, that person loves me. The only way we know that somebody truly loves us is if you have gone through some hardship with them and see how they can resist, they can stand up for you. And for me, the 7 sorrows, Our Lady reminded us to say in Rwanda, which she wanted the whole world to say it, which had been there anyway. But she reminded us, but it is a sign, it is a way that she comforts us. Because in these days, people hurt a lot. people go through a lot of suffering more than ever because of our sins, our bad decisions. So for her to come, this urgent message, please tell the world to say the Seven Sorrows Rosary. It is her way of, I'm going to tell you, I love you, I am with you, trust me, hold on to me, just this is how much I care. And it, to me, it had been like that. And many miracles happened in Kibeho through people who say the Seven Sorrows, miracles of healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, people who are asking to the Blessed Mother. And I remember one thing she said, especially through Our Lady of Kibeho, through the Seven Sorrows Rosary, she said, if you are dealing with obsession, addiction, say the Seven Sorrows Rosary. It is capable to change even those things that we think are a part of our character or that how we are, you know. So Our Lady of Kibeho is such a beautiful lady.
That's actually what your next book is about, too, as well. Your third book is about Our Lady of Kibeho, which we'll actually be looking forward to reading that. Your first book, Left to Tell, the New York Times bestseller, about your story in Rwanda, and your second book what was the name of the title of that?
The second book is called Led by Faith.
Led by Faith, which was about your life after Rwanda and how our Lord and our Lady continued to guide you as well. And so your next book, which is about an apparition in Kibeho, which has been approved by the church, and there's actually a basilica being built there now. We'll look forward to reading about that, and we can get all the information on your website?
Yes, so can you get information on my website, immaculate.com, and I'm trying to have groups, pilgrims, to go to visit Rwanda, to go to visit our shrine, and just to see how the whole country is trying to catch up. They're trying to build the shrine. A lot of work is still needed, a lot of help is still needed, but also the grace is just big, and the Blessed Mother promised that the graces on the ground that are there are available for the whole world. And I really wish that the world would come and visit her.
It's being referred to as the Second Lords, I believe. So
The Lords of Africa.
So Our Lady's will be done. So we thank you so much, Immaculée, for your interview and for your witness. And you can look to people to get your book, Left to Tell, and also your other two books as well, and go to your website and learn more about you and actually have you come and speak. If they want, they can try to make an appointment to come and have you come and speak to them as well and tell your story. So thank you so much. God bless you. And this is Friar Terence again for AirMaria.com here in Rhode Island with Immaculée. God bless you. Ave Maria.